This is Weaver talking to Luke about the flashcard project, now showing at Carbondale Arts.
And blowing people away, too, right?
Oh, I think so. Our sales keep going up on the auction. It's pretty exciting.
I did notice that the pieces are being auctioned off online, aren't they?
They are. If you go to carbondalearts.com, click on to the R2 Gallery and then Exhibitions, it'll pop up and there'll be several different things you can look at, the auction being one of them.
You know, they've really stepped up their website. It's really, You can take that virtual tour now and you can get a dollhouse view and you can get a floor plan view. It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. I have to say that I've been in a lot of exhibitions in a lot of galleries, and they surpass the professionalism of anywhere. They are doing such an amazing job.
Wow. Well, how long have you been making art, Weaver Cohane?
Oh, my whole life.
Well, dare I ask how long that is?
Well, let's see. I know I started drawing at 3. I'm 72. So,
Wow.
Long time.
So you've been around the block. You know what's good and what's bad, basically.
Well, I definitely took some sidetracks into the marketing end and then in management and things like that, but Steve and I have both been, you know, fully devoted to the arts since really 1991.
How about that?
And you know, we both had been, you know, making art, and I've been exhibiting since the 70s, but took a long break for a different career for a while, but came back full in. I would say 84, I've been doing art pretty much full-time, along with the dream work that I do and teaching.
Well, now, according to what I've read, you were cleaning out your studio during the pandemic, during the beginning of the pandemic, and you found these flashcards, and now all of a sudden there's an exhibition. So that happened really fast for an art exhibition, didn't it?
Well, it really did. Well, in the midst of cleaning and, you know, just really getting rid of so much stuff, when I found these, they're flashcards, and they're originally made for learning to teach people how to use words to express themselves, which I didn't know when I found them until I read the back of the cards. But a couple of them reminded me of friends, and so I put them aside, and I thought, this would be fun. I could just send a few of my friends these, and we could be doing something together while we're all sequestered. And a couple days later, I got an email from Brian that everyone got that reminded everyone of the deadline to apply for 2021 exhibitions. And I thought, oh, this is a sign, you know, this is synchronistic. I'll put together something and apply it for 2021. So I came up with the idea, and I went through my email and got my whole list of all the artists that I know just to see if anybody was interested. And out of 70 people, 54 said yes. So I went ahead and applied and started thinking about what it would be. And then I got a call. I think it was from Amy. I'm not real clear about how this all happened, but the gallery committee was meeting, and they did approve it as an exhibition, but then, you know, everything was being canceled at that time, and they were trying to figure out how to open it back up, and they asked if I could be ready with this by June 26th. And I said, yes.
Wow.
We can do it. So I immediately got all these cards mailed out. I have to tell you, these artists were so responsive. You could tell how much people wanted something important to do.
During the pandemic.
I had no issues with anyone. I got their addresses. I got the things mailed. There were a few questions here and there. mostly about how do I paint the clipboard, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it just went clickety-click. It was just supposed to happen.
How about that? Now you chose the flashcards for the artists.
I did.
Did
some
you do that?
Some reminded me of people, and others were random.
Okay.
It was kind of a mixture.
Okay. Now, when I think of flashcards, I think of multiplication tables.
And, right.
You know, dogs, pictures of dogs and chickens and eggs and all that
stuff.
Well,
there were that. There was a chicken and a dog. Yeah, those were there.
Okay.
But these are not the little 3x5 that you get in a little box. This was a company that was really dedicated to visual learning that made these. These cards I have had since, I believe, 1996. I think I bought them in an antique barn in Maine or at the old thrift store in Glenwood behind the old True Value when they took all that down.
Oh, wow.
Remember that
years
ago?
Yeah.
But they're about 8x10, little, you know, not exactly that. So they're larger. The printing of the imagery is very clear and crisp. They're it's just the image on the front, and about half the cards have an explanation on the back about the image, but a lot of them don't, which I don't understand. I'm not sure why. The company isn't in business anymore.
Huh.
I tried to look up something about them, but on the back of a few cards, they talk about, and if you Google it too, there's a little bit of information about how these cards were used, but they did call them learning flashcards.
Okay, so the object is for the artist to be inspired by the flashcard that you sent them and then convert that into art. Is that kind of?
Absolutely. Just whatever came to mind. And also, I said, you know, if you can show what's happening with you now during this pandemic, that's great, but it's not necessary. But a lot of people did go that route. And the only guidelines were really it either has to clip on a clipboard or, you know, or work on a pedestal. And the majority of the artists stayed with the clipboard.
Right. In fact, I think there were only just two or three that are on pedestals. Three or four.
I think there's one, two, three, four, maybe six.
Okay.
And then there's one that Raina Katzenberger did that is a pedestal itself.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm just blown away by the work.
Well, I was going to ask, now that you've assembled all of it and hung it, what have you learned about your fellow artists or about their response to the pandemic?
Well, I've learned that it's just bull that artists aren't responsible and that we're flighty and we're unorganized because every single person got their work in on time, every person got their bio in, every person got their statement in, the people from out of town got stuff before the deadline in, and it was all totally authentic work to the artist. I mean, just nothing contrived, meaningful, very meaningful work. At some extraordinary detail, like Scott Keating's comes to mind. He's a wonderful jewelry designer and goldsmith, and I sent him literally a card that was just a gold bracelet, and he turned it into a ring with using coronavirus objects to as the jewels.
Uh-huh.
The detail is amazing. It's beautiful. Anna De Heiser made a handmade book out of reproducing her photography on different sheets of rice paper and other papers. And it's so sad people can't touch it because it needs to be turned over. Whoever gets that piece will have a treasure. I mean, and it goes on and on. I mean, there are just so many pieces that they're just They're extraordinary. I'm just blown away by it.
So
I'm just so proud of everybody, and I'm so inspired by everybody.
So they rose to the occasion, the pandemic.
Absolutely, beyond, yeah.
Huh. That doesn't surprise me.
No, it's an amazing community. Almost, you know, I would say the majority of the artists are from the Carbondale area. Quite a few from Aspen, a few from Down Valley, from Glenwood to Silt, and then several from other towns in Colorado. Then some from Montana, Oregon, Vermont. Very few out of towners. Oh, in Fort Collins or Loveland, the San Luis Valley. Lynette is in it, who used to work for KD&K.
That's right.
Who I think is who I met you through.
I think that might be right, although I have a vague memory of meeting you much earlier, like pretty soon after I moved to the Valley, which was 1979. You've been around.
Then we've known each other long before we knew Lynette.
Like maybe through the Little Kitchen or maybe Pickin County Granary or something. I don't know.
Something. I mean, I hope your memory's better than mine back then.
Well, you know how it works. You remember things 40 years ago, but you don't remember what you walked in the room to get.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it works. I want to talk a little bit about your piece because, what was your flashcard? How did you get from a flashcard to a mixed media piece of book art called Stillness?
My flashcard was a little fawn that looked a little wobbly on her legs. And I started out thinking I was going to do a clipboard piece and started painting. And I mean, it wasn't coming. It was like, there's something going on. I had all these little cutouts I did of little deer and things like that. And I just put it away for a day or so, and I started really thinking about what the fawn meant. And I just did a little research on the fawn and found out that the fawn's spots are what camouflage her or him. While the mother goes out to find food, she leaves them in their little area, and they know not to move until she comes back. And it just hit me that was kind of what it felt like. My home felt like the mother protecting me, and you know, you're peeking out. It's like you hear someone come down the drive, and you peek out, and like, oh my gosh, are they safe? You know, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so I started going through some of my imagery, and I had done a book years ago shaped like a house, a very long kind of accordion book, and I thought, it just came to me to cut those out. Instead of being a clipboard, it would be a house, and I did a series with Target paper a couple of years ago, and that reminded me of, you know, the virus and the deer, and I love the quality of this old antique Target paper. Felt like the title Stillness, along with the fawn staying still, and I wanted it to be a little more three-dimensional, so I made the wire tree to go with it, and I had been keeping this photograph of this deer kind of peeking at you for ages, and it hit me that this was what I was saving it for, and she is sort of peeking out of the house. And a funny thing happened. Steve and I hiked up Basalt Mountain this morning, and we actually way, way up at the top saw a buck in beautiful condition, and it stopped and did that same thing. It took put its head around and peeked at us. And first of all, we were thrilled that there's wildlife again up there. And then the thing that hit me was like, that's what my deer is doing in my book.
Oh, how about that? Huh.
So does that answer? Is that more than enough?
I think it does. You know, the obvious connection for me when I think about a fawn is innocence and vulnerability. And there's a little bit of that, I think, with your piece, but it sounds like that's not exactly the focus.
The vulnerability for sure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is, the reason I have it displayed, not quite open, is that's how it feels right now, that we're kind of closed in and feeling vulnerable. We're feeling like the fawn whose mother is still out getting the food.
Okay.
That, you know, what's going to happen next, you know?
But
at the same time, I feel very safe. And I did write about that a little bit in my statement of all the different emotions making this book, the emotions that came up making it. One was vulnerability and also being protected as well. I mean, the conflict, kind of, you have these dualistic feelings, but actually they're all merged together, so it's kind of a paradox that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it represents that.
Has the pandemic changed the way you make art or think about it?
Well, it certainly ignited that piece, so I would have to say yes. I think it's made me want to have even more meaning in my work, even though my work has always been meaningful and somewhat conceptual. Making that piece was, first of all, the revelation that I wasn't going to push it and make it be on the clipboard was important because I kind of felt obligated to do that, but I let that go and followed the feelings that I was having, and I've always had an affinity for the deer. Deer was also always a totem for me, so the fawn felt like a new beginning in that aspect of myself. And I do notice in the studio now that, first of all, the studio is so much cleaner from cleaning it out that I feel a spaciousness in it.
Oh.
And I feel, I've noticed that about the whole house. Since we've been going through this, the house has become our house, that things are where we want them to be. We had classes here, we had dream group here, we had, you know, dinner parties here, and we haven't had any of that. And I notice that including my studio, the same thing, where I would have classes as well as work, now it's mine. And that feels different.
How about that? That's very, really interesting.
It is. I can't explain it. It's just I have a very different. I love our home and our land so much, and I'm so grateful for it during this time. And, I mean, I could still be living in a 400-square-foot apartment in New York City, you know, and not have any air.
And the world would look pretty grim from that perch.
Yeah. So I feel so grateful. I really do. I did want to tell you one thing that so I don't forget. Since the show opened and we got pictures of everything, I've been working on a catalog. And it actually went to the publisher today.
Oh.
So a catalog of the show, which will have every piece in the show, every bio, every statement, will be available probably as early as next week.
I just
want people to know that.
Is that going to be available through Carbondale Arts website? I guess it probably will.
I don't know if they'll put it through the website.
Uh-huh.
I'm offering all the artists in the show a discount, and then it's going to be on Amazon, and then Carbondale Arts is going to have the book in the bookshop, but I don't think they have any sale items. If I'd thought of this sooner, we could have done kind of a raffle on the auction, maybe. But that's a good point. Maybe I can get it in on the auction, huh?
Huh. You know, you were talking about your sense of home having changed a little bit since the pandemic. And, you know, my understanding of your art over the years is that it's a spiritual approach to it for you. In fact, on your website, you say this process of art making is my individual and indisputable connection to the divine. Is that connection stronger after coronavirus?
Yeah, I would say it's deepened it even more. I it's always been very, very strong. But yes, I would say that on a day-to-day basis throughout this, I have been more and more connected to consciousness or the divine, whatever you want to call it, mainly because of I think mainly because of the gratitude that I have for having the ability to make art, to read, to walk in the woods, you know, to be so connected. And I've had more silence, I mean, since this has happened. Just the stillness is definitely an aspect of the connection to the divine. That's a great question, Luke.
I wonder, too, about Black Lives Matter and Me Too. Remember that? That was big just a couple of years ago. Now nobody says it anymore. But I know, of course, that it's still out there. And has that deepened your art, those impulses?
I'm not a political person at all. I mean, not at all. I vote.
Right.
But I really kind of trust that the universe is unfolding as it's supposed to unfold.
Yeah.
So I don't really get caught up. However, as a woman, I'm extremely connected to Black Lives Matter because, you know, I was in the women's movement fighting for our right to a lot of things, equal pay being one. And so I'm very connected to those issues, but during this time it didn't seem to bring up anything other than just acknowledgement of how important it is to stand up for ourselves. That seems really important to me. I haven't done any art around it, although a couple of people in the show did include that. Several people.
Yeah.
I believe Nancy Lovendahl and Annette Weinhold and Raina and seems like there was, also Kat, Rich, quite a few pieces kind of combine the sense of what it's like to live through this pandemic and how the Black Lives Matter protest, you know, how they connect it to that.
Huh. That's really interesting.
Yeah. What that issue brought up for me was, again, having to do with consciousness, that I just wish everybody could understand we're all one and we're all connected. And I think that's what the protesting is about. It's like, look, you know, we are not different from you. We deserve the same respect, and we all do. Everything does. Animals, plants, you know, humans. We're just all the same. We're all connected.
I think artists know that intuitively, and they don't have to practice it. I mean, they don't have to protest because they're practicing that every day.
Yeah, and then we have our art to express it through.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're extremely sensitive, and we're usually kind of loners. But that doesn't mean that we're not really feeling into what's going on. And I wish every day for harmony to come in and reign, and I'm very curious about why we're not in a harmonious state by now, but time will tell.
Time will tell. You think you're living in heaven, but you're living in hell. Yeah. Well, you know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think artists have a pretty clear view of a way through all this just because of the way that they live their lives and make their art.
Well, I think that's why I love the term art saves lives.
Yeah.
It does give us, I mean, so many artists wrote me, Luke, during this saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I needed this, you know, I needed to express what I'm feeling. It just made me so happy that I hadn't just put this idea aside.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I mean, we artists know that making the art will heal us, but sometimes we can't get started. And everybody I talked to was like, all I'm doing is cleaning my studio and getting, and I said, that's where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not really feeling creative other than the sense of keep this and let go of that, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I just feels like a gift from the universe that I ran across those cards and this all came together. And so many people are now enjoying viewing it and hopefully relating to it. And a lot of people are actually purchasing pieces because they speak to them. And I just feel really fulfilled by this whole thing. I'm so grateful to Carbondale Arts for, encouraging this to happen.
Yeah. Well, I went and visited the show yesterday, and I spent, well, they chased me out the door because I showed up a little bit too late, so I'm going to have to go back. But it was engrossing, and the great thing about it for me, because I'm not necessarily antisocial, but I was the only one in there. And so I had the gallery to myself, and I could really digest things that way,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, and right now, no more than 10 people can be in there at once, so it's
right.
going to be a great experience for whoever visits.
Yes. And the show's up for the rest of the month, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I believe the last open day is the 29th. I'm not positive about that.
Yeah.
You might ask Brian about that, but it's advertised as through the end of the month.
Right.
But I don't know what days 30 and 31 are, because they're not open on weekends anymore for a while.
Oh, that's Thursday and Friday, 30th and 31st.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. How about that? We were Cohane. Thank you so much for telling me about this show. It's really fascinating.